You are listening to Trials Talk with Chris and Kyle on the City of Smag podcast presented by Tracksmith. We're super excited to partner with Tracksmith, an independent running brand fueled by a deep love of the sport. They celebrate the amateur spirit and seek to inspire the personal pursuit of excellence. Tracksmith is pleased to be supporting 30 Olympic Trials qualifiers in Eugene, including athletes across 14 different disciplines as part of their amateur support program. So here's a special offer for our listeners over the next couple days. Check out Tracksmith's essentials for racing and training, including the Strata kits that their trials athletes are racing in this week, at tracksmith.com/Sidious. You can use code Sidious to receive 10% off any order until the last day of the trials, which is June 27th. That's right, 10% off any order through the last day of the trials using code Sidious. Now, let's get right into the biggest performances and surprises with me, your host, Chris Chavez, and my co-host, Kyle Merber. We're live here at the Tracksmith HQ, but we have a special guest here. Olympian Heather McLean has joined the podcast. Heather, welcome. And first off, congrats.
Thank you, and thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here today.
How did we pull this off? She's like, I think the cool down went straight into the podcast.
Yeah, what were your last, like, 2 hours like?
I literally went from drug testing to the New Balance house, and I saw Dana's location was less than 800 feet away, and I came sprinting. So always put your friends on Find My Friends.
Because what's the deal? It's like, your family didn't make it out here?
No, I mean, it's a really far trip for my family, and a lot of my family has family, so, mm-hmm. like, my siblings all have kids and stuff, and they were all watching from home, and my mom really, really wanted to come out, but it was just going to be a lot, so I was like, you know what, just stay home, like, watch it on TV. So they had a little viewing party, her and my siblings and stuff, so they got to watch all my races and everything from home, which was nice, and I think that was, it was definitely hard being out here by yourself, but at the same time, I have so many people that were supporting me out here, and I was so excited about that.
One of them is sitting right next to you, the host of the More Than Running podcast, the BAA's own Dana Giordano. Dana, watching the video of you going nuts in the stands for Heather was amazing. How are you feeling right now?
You know, my Garmin said, would you like to contact your emergency contact? Because my heart rate went so high. I kid you not, I had to cancel it. I probably freaked everyone out.
We're not bleeping that.
No.
Just so you know, we've been drinking champagne.
That wasn't very ladylike, viewer.
No, I think that the new Hayward definitely has a different feel. And, you know, we haven't figured out the clap yet. We haven't figured out the energy. But today was the first day that I really felt that everyone was alive because the families were there, people were getting really close, and, you know, Heather and I live together. We've pretty much spent, I don't know, every waking moment
we
the past year
that family.
That we aren't at camp together. So it's, you know, it's the most special thing in the world to see someone that you love accomplish their dream, and no one deserves it more than Heather. I think that, you know, there's all incredible stories, but when you have someone who's really gone through a lot in their whole life and they can make it through to the, you know, and not even easy getting that third spot. You know, they say that people get the bronze medal the happiest, but you fought so hard to the end, and I could just see it. And I don't know, it was unreal.
Yeah. On your podcast, you've shared Heather's story before, but I guess to listeners who haven't been as familiar, Heather, how long have you been dreaming about a moment like this?
She looks at me. I just want to say, like, I'm not like most other runners out there. Like, I didn't wake up 7 years old, start running, and say, like, my dream is to make the Olympic team. Like, I was just trying to live day to day, man. Like, I was just making it through. And, you know, when I started running professionally, I really started seeing my potential and started saying, like, hey, like, I don't really have much else to worry about right now. Like, I'm not helping my mom out at home. Like, I'm living on my own now. And, you know, I'm not in school trying to, like, make it through and get my degree and everything. Like, it's just me and, like, this journey that I'm going on. And, like, now this is something I really, really want. And so I can't say, like, I woke up one day and decided, like, I want to be an Olympian. I can say that I found my niche really late in life. And I decided that, like, hey, this is something I'm going to work really hard towards and see how much I can do with it. And when it was all said and done, like, I knew that this was something that I could accomplish at some point. And I decided, like, you know, why not today?
We definitely have to give a huge shout out to my college coach and Heather's current coach, Mark Coogan, because I remember being at the Harvard indoor track and Mark being like, there's this girl from UMass. I'm going to get her. I'm going to get on the team, and she's going to be amazing. And I think that Mark has the ability to see talent in someone who doesn't see it in themselves. And he really has the way of, he'll tell you things, and I'll tell you this from college, and you probably know it now. He'll tell you before you know you're completely ready that you can do something spectacular. So I don't even know how many months ago he was telling you to be an Olympian, but I'm it was like 3 years ago.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's been saying it for months now. And it took me a long time to believe in myself. And I, like, told myself this morning, I'm like, no more putting mental barriers on yourself. Like, no more. Like, it's such an honor to be in this final right now. Like, you need to make the most of it. And I really feel like I did that today. And I just put it all out there. Like, I got a 2-second PR out of that, which was pretty cool.
And you definitely have to tell us about the last 100 meters, because that's when was tweeting.
I think the whole last lap, yeah.
I almost want to start yesterday.
Yeah.
I guess or the semi. Ago. Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Because
I got to crack my beer before we get into the
right into the microphone.
There we go.
So, yeah, let's, first round smooth. Second, though, a little bit of a hiccup.
Yeah, I think that was, I hate to say it, but it was a great round for me to have, because old me never would have made it through that round, because old me would have given up the minute I was pushed over and probably fallen to the back. Like, it's taken a long time for me to really believe that I belong, like, where with those amazing women out there. Like, it's taken me a long time to believe that, hey, I can race amongst the best. Like, I can do what they're doing. And I do it every day in practice. Like, we link up with amazing runners in Boston all the time. Like, I do it all the time. But it's taken me so long to say, this is something I can really do, and everyone else believes in you, and you need to believe in yourself. And so I've been working a lot on just being present during races and making sure I'm moving with every move. And I was devastated when I crossed that line and, like, fell into the line and didn't I looked up and didn't have that little cue next to my name. And I was like, it was all my fault. Like, I blamed myself, and I said that I didn't fight hard enough. Like, I should have done more. And so figuring out I could protest it and, like, make it into the final, I said, I need to make the most of this. And
what did Ellie say to you? Because she said something to you right as you guys were walking off the track.
Honestly, it's pretty much a blur, but it was something along the lines of, like, did you make it in? Like, it's okay. Like, it's fine.
Oh, so she didn't know. Yeah.
Yeah, so she didn't know. And I went straight to the back and, like, was just pretty upset. And my agent comes over to me and he's like, we're protesting that. And then everyone's texting me being like, that was BS. Like, we're protesting that. And I'm like, what even is a protest? Like, yeah. I've never done this before.
Yeah, I think you have to bring, like, bags of cash.
No, a really fun thing is that in order to protest, you have
$100 cash. You get it back if you win. You get it back if you win, which is wild.
That's how USATF is doing
people,
so well.
Like, everyone's, we're going to a track meet. We're going to a big meet. Let's stop at the ATM first.
Yeah. And, like, I was making a joke about it after because, you know, my dad passed away a few years ago. So obviously he wasn't at this meet either. And I was like, he had to make it like that for me, because he was like, if you're going to make it into that final, you're going to make it into the final, but you're going to fight doing it. And that's exactly what I did. And I was like, maybe that's just the, like, McLean way.
Wait,
but
we have to tell what I muled across the country for you.
So essentially, I
have forgot a few things before.
This might be dark humor for people who are listening. Oh, and I'm thinking of everybody, this Father's Day weekend who's lost a father or even a parent in general. Like, I totally resonate with that and understand how hard it can be. And I actually, our old roommate, Leanne Farber, and one of our, like, best friends, also lost her father. So how we cope is dark humor, which Dana doesn't always vibe with, but
no, I can get behind it, but I'm just late to the party.
It's a little messy sometimes, but essentially I was like, hey Dana, like, can you grab this charm from my bedroom? And she's like, yeah, sure, of course, like, I can grab your charm.
Well, first of all, she's like, I don't have my passport.
Oh, yeah, so I didn't have my which is just dumb. Like, come on, Heather.
And I'm searching through the drawer, and I find, like, a piece of artwork that I made as a child that's broken in her drawer she meant to, like, glue back together. Yeah. I'm like, is it under that? I can't find your passport.
Essentially, my life is a mess. No, I'm kidding. But I was like, I found out, like, this week that I wasn't going to have anybody there. Like, I kind of, a lot, before I got to the trials, I was really getting down on myself about, like, not having anybody from my immediate family there to support me, because, I mean, everyone's family was going out there. And like I said, like, I'm pretty independent, and I usually don't think about that stuff a lot. And I got there, and I was like, wow, I didn't realize, like, everyone's, like, family and their brothers and their friends, and, like, everyone's coming out to these trials. Like, it's pretty significant, apparently. And it was just going to be really hard for my family to come out there, and really expensive, and I didn't want to put that burden on them. And most of my family's, like, a lot of them haven't even been on an airplane before, or, like, maybe once or twice. Like, my mom's only been on an airplane twice in her life. So I was like, okay, that's, like, going
to
be really stressful.
Heather's
for her.
NCAA Woman of the Year Award. So yes. Let's just shut that
so,
up.
And I would just feel awful, like, if she had to go out there by herself, and, like, I wasn't going to be able to hang out with her, obviously, like, and not make a trip out
of it.
It's
almost pressure in a way.
Yeah, like, it was them, more pressure to have them out here, because then I would just be stressed about, like, wanting to entertain them, because, like, I just, you know, want to make sure they're all feeling good and everything.
So she's like, I need a little charm.
Yeah, so I'm like, okay, so I'm like, Dana, like, hey, can you bring this charm out for me? It's a Clada. My dad, I don't know if you guys can ever tell, but, like, I always kiss my ring, because my dad got me this Clada ring, like, for my 20th birthday or something like that, and has my birthstone. But basically, like, we are Scottish-Irish, so, like, the Clada ring's, like, a big thing in that. And so
which way is it facing?
I always wanted, oh yeah, I'm single.
single.
When I said no one was there to support me, I meant it.
So, I was there, work wife.
Yeah, work wife and my work husband,
yeah,
Jacob
David
Thompson.
Isn't working
and
out.
And David is my surrogate boyfriend.
Well, you just got, I mean, I think I heard David say you just got a bunch of great Hinge photos.
I have a roster. Just kidding. I'm totally kidding. I'm very single. And so, yeah, my dad got me this Clada ring. It's like, that was funny that you asked that, but it's really symbolic to me because obviously he's not here with me anymore, and I absolutely love this ring. But when he passed away, me and my sister put his ashes into, like, a Clada necklace. And my sister wears a necklace all the time, but I usually don't wear the necklace because it's, like, a little bit bigger, but it has this Clada charm. So, like, it's just, like, a little bit of him in there. Like, maybe his, like, left toe or something.
And, there's that dark humor we heard about.
Sorry. And I was like, you know, I'm not going to have anyone from my family here to support me. I mean, maybe somebody was in the stands that's partially related to me. If anybody in the stands was related to the Salem witches, like, hit me up. I'm also related to you. And so I asked Dana to bring this charm across the country, and I didn't tell her what was the significance of the charm, but she asked no questions.
She
just
pretty much
brought it.
Goes, my dad's here now.
Yeah. So I was like, daddy's here. And she was like, wait, what? I'm like, yeah. So I was trying to make a joke to Mark, like, after the race, and after the semis, I was like, yeah, I knew my dad wanted this to happen. He's like, your dad's here? I'm like, yeah, he's in my backpack. And so kind of messed up, but, you know, whatever. No, like, my dad was there to support me, and he lived on the West Coast, like, for the rest of his life. So it's kind of, like, special. And
I'm going to take a pause here and say, like, Heather is a mom to so many people in her life, and it's really remarkable. Like, the family that came out to me in Attleboro, small me, is just amazing. So, you know, not all of us can fly across the country of the means to do so, but it doesn't mean we have people not supporting us across the country.
Yeah.
And I think that sometimes, you know, the stadiums lie a little bit. So
Had, like, my family at the stadium too. You know, I had so many people there supporting me. Like, I'm really weird about, like, having support from people in the past. Like, I've been like, oh, like, I don't want to tell people what time I'm racing. Like, what if I don't live up to their expectations? And this past week, like, this past month, this past year, honestly, I've been like, I don't care. Like, if I fail, I fail. If I can't be fearful of, like, not living up to people's expectations anymore, or living up to my own expectations. Like, I need to take it all in. Like, any support I can get here, I need to get. And so I was, like, giving out all these t-shirts, like, Heather's time is now to all my friends and stuff. And
Chris is rocking one as we speak.
Right, and now, like, you know, you see, like, you're walking into the stadium, like, walking up to the starting line, you see a fan section for every other athlete there. And I'm like, why can't I make my own fan section? Like, why does it have to be, like, my immediate family? Like, they're fanning for me at home. So I was just
section
really
128 was going off though.
Yeah, it was just really special to have, like, so many people there supporting me and actually feel that support, you know. So yeah, it was great.
So I guess going today, you know, normal morning, easy shakeout run? What's going through your head leading into the race? And then especially that first 100 meters, there was...
Oh, messy.
I mean...
messy.
Ellie almost... Ellie took a step off the track.
I literally go, not this again. Like,
yeah.
I was like, I'm not getting into this mess. yeah, you know, normal shakeout. Me and Ellie have been in just, like, such great spirits this week. We're like... We kept making subtle jokes at each other, like, hey, when we make that Olympic team, like...
Well, we also
this is
what
we're
out.
Drinking, or like
we got a UMass and a UNH. We got some New England.
Yeah, we
gals.
Got North New England girls, like, you know, born and raised, and we're teammates. We support each other. We're there for each other every day. And I'm like, if she can make this Olympic team, like, why can't I? So
I think that's kind of been the story all year, because you crushed it in the winter in the 800. You really were like rocking these two flat races, solo in Arkansas. Things were so super weird because of COVID.
Yeah.
You were crushing
it. For sure. And I know I had that closing speed, and I know if I put myself in the race, like, I'm in the race. So I just had to do that. And so, yeah, I just woke up this morning and I said, how cool would it be? My mom's birthday is in 2 days. I'm like, if I went home and I was like, happy birthday, Mom. Like, I became an Olympian for your birthday. Like, you better be grateful. And
no, wait, right before we leave, Heather's going to take you to the airport to Flagstaff. Opens the door, doesn't even say anything, just thinks I'm Heather, and puts a Dunkin' iced coffee out the door.
Okay, so is this when we,
yeah.
the we, other
so
good
let's
luck
diverge,
charm?
Yeah.
The
so
other good luck charm on
actually,
your left wrist
yes,
right now.
Yes, this is from an ex-boyfriend, but it's really meaningful to me. Shout out Sam. He's great, but like, yeah, he got me these a while back, and it's... They're really special to me because Dunkin' is, like, very special to me. I know I'm being overkill and being super basic by saying Dunkin' is special to me.
Not
but it's more than the coffee. Like, people are always like, the coffee's trash. I'm like, no, it's not.
The
it's about
hot
the
coffee is trash. The iced
anyway,
coffee is
it's about
trash.
The experience. You go there for the atmosphere. You walk in. You talk. I know all the people at my local Dunkin'. Like, the people in Amherst, they
out.
Knew my order.
Shout them out.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know their names.
Seasonal order. Oh, I just finished work at. Can you close? Give me a cold brew oat milk with blueberry, please.
Yes.
Thank you.
That is my favorite right now. And, yeah, I got these Dunkin' scrunchies a while back, and Dunkin' makes me really happy. So I'm like, why wouldn't I wear this during a race? And, you know, I didn't wear it for a few races, mm-hmm. and I didn't like those races that much. So I would prefer to wear my Dunkin' scrunchie. It's a good luck charm to me. And I was literally raised on Dunkin'. Like, I know my mom's order by heart. She ordered it every morning while she was making us late to school.
What was it?
It was a medium iced coffee, extra cream, skim milk, three equal.
Is equal still around?
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I don't know why she got skim milk and cream. Beats me.
I was wondering if you, like, misspoke.
No,
what
no
a crazy...
I did not. I swear to God.
I feel like you could just get, like, 1%.
You know, she'd always get that
day.
French Kreller to, like, give me on the side, and I was super pumped about it. And... Yeah, my mom always tells me this story about how, like, one time she was driving my dad to work, and he, like, stopped at Dunkin' to get his, you know, hot coffee. He was an iron worker, so it's, like, 5 a.m. I'm in the back seat screaming my head off because I was apparently pretty temperamental as a child. And she's just, like, shut up and gives me Munchkins. Like, I'm, like, 9 months old or something. I take a sip of the iced coffee because that's what I really wanted, and that must have been where it all began, like...
Wow.
I drank 3 iced coffees a day in high school. Not safe. I wouldn't recommend for anybody.
You're a New England
would never
girl.
Do that now. Yeah, like, it's like I said, like, Dunkin' brings me peace. Like, it's the first thing I want when I land in Boston. When I go home, like, my daily walks where I need to clear my mind, I'm walking Dunkin'. And
this podcast is not sponsored by Dunkin'. I just want to put that out there.
It should be. But
yeah,
Heather
Charlie D'Amelio.
It's like not even funny how much I like get tagged when like Dunkin' comes out with gear and stuff. Like, oh
so
yeah, like people
I've
know
got
this
some special
about me.
Videos. Heather has two costumes. One's a donut. One's a coffee cup. We were messing around with them before we came out.
Oh yeah,
here.
We were having a grand old time. I forgot about them. I bought them impulsively, obviously, because that's what I always do.
Yeah. So, you know, we love Dunkin', but we also love you making an Olympic team. So can we tell us about
yes.
the
tell
race?
About did you
race?
Know Ellie was going to push the pace?
Yeah, did you
front?
Know? That's
like,
the real question.
Obviously, you're hanging out with her
you
always.
Know, I knew Ellie was strong enough to do that. I didn't know for sure if somebody else was going to take the first lap, but I knew that if Ellie took the first lap, she was going to make it well worth it. And, so, yeah, we got out. You know, we had a little bit of a messy first whatever, 100 meters.
Yeah.
I was a little worried again. I was like, I can't do this again. I'm going straight to the front. So I get behind. I don't even remember because I haven't even rewatched like a video of the race. But
I think Danny was up there too. So it was.
Yeah.
Ellie,
I mean,
Corey,
I have a lot of respect
Danny.
For like.
She needed
Corey,
the standard,
she,
as Jones. Did you. Yeah, Danny Jones.
Corey
the
like
standard
went right
you.
After it. She was right on Ellie's shoulder the whole time. I think that was really great. And I was like a little bit far back. You know, Mark told me, hey, like hang out in third or fourth until the last lap. I know you have the kick to like make it the last lap. And so, you know, it's hard hearing that, like him telling your teammate, just take the lead. And then he's telling you, like, go third or fourth. I'm like, oh, this is so confusing.
I think you
like,
were fifth
but I'm horrible at leading. So I was very happy to not take the lead. I mean, I was saying, like, in an 800, I would rather solo an 800 than run it with people for whatever reason, just because I've run it a lot more. But a mile, I'm just like, or a 1500, I'm just not as comfortable with. And I'm not great pacing in practice for longer distance stuff. So I knew that, like, if Ellie's a lot better at pacing. So I'm like, I'm telling myself in my head, this is practice, this is practice, this is practice. So about like 800 meters into the race, after the little tumbly thing in the beginning, I was like, okay, I need to get in a good position. I stayed in lane one the whole time, which was a big thing for me because I'm always in lane two like an idiot. And I'm like running 1,800 meters
well,
when
Corey
I need to.
Corey was in like lane two the entire
yeah,
time.
Corey
yeah,
was,
I mean, she was great. She yeah. was like hanging on Ellie's shoulder. I thought that was awesome. And she had a huge PR too.
Yeah.
But yeah, I, like 800 meters in, I saw a gap starting to open up and I saw Danny, Corey and Ellie up front. And I was like, okay, I have a choice now. Like, what's that? Edgar Allan Poe, like two roads diverge. I'm like, I could
Robert
choose
Frost.
To hang back here. Whatever. Sorry, I've shotgunned beer before this.
Edgar Allan Poe goes like, with the poet. Previous story.
Yeah.
Grim parts.
Yes. So I'm like, I have a choice here. I could stay back here. There was some pretty profound names back there. I'm like, they might have a strong kick too. And so I'm like, what if I could just kick with them? But then I saw the gap opening up more. I'm like, I can't risk it. Like, this is something I can't risk it for, honestly. So I start to move up and 400 meters to go. I'm like, oh, I don't know if my kick's strong enough. I got to pass two people right now.
Your
and
back
then,
straightaway was amazing.
So yeah, I start
Heather
moving.
Also has this amazing stride where even if she's dying, you don't know because her face never moves. Her stride never changes. It's very hard to tell if she's having a good day or a bad day. You just have to see if she's passing people.
Yes. So I start moving that back straight away. I'm like, I can catch these two. I can catch them. And then I see like Corey and Ellie up front. I'm like, okay, I don't know if I can catch them, but like I can get that third spot finish and I have a really good chance of getting it. And I just got to believe in myself. So I'm in my head, like hearing Mark Coogan's voice being like, Heather, you can qualify for this team. Heather, you can qualify for this team. And next thing you know, I'm on the back or the straightaway to the finish, which I've pictured so many times in my mind over the last few weeks, just finishing at that finish line. And I felt like I was complete. It was weird. It felt like the stadium was empty. It felt like I was completely alone. And I was sprinting to the finish, giving it everything I got, every last push. And like, I didn't even know I was near anybody. Like, I, of course, like you look back on the footage now and I see like Shanna was right there.
You watched it.
About to catch me, just the finish line.
Can we watch the whole race? This last bit with you?
Oh, yeah, sure. Absolutely.
Ooh. All right, here we go.
Ben, you might want to see this.
I don't know if I want to. Do I want to see this?
Probably yeah, no, cringe. No. We want to see it. Here. We want to see it.
Okay. Yeah, so I'm like not even in the picture at this point. Oh, wow. I didn't realize they were that far in front of me. Oh, I also told myself the last 400, pretend it's a 4x4. And I love 4x4, so I was really excited about that. Oh, my gosh. The two ladies up front, so has Shannon Osika, by the way, who runs third. But it is Puria St. Pierre up against McGee in the Olympic trials in the women's 1500.
We barely get to see the battle for third.
Oh, yeah, I heard everyone was telling me. That's fine. Obviously, this is a lot more impressive.
No.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I did not realize it was that close. I didn't even know I made it until I crossed the line. I was, like, praying. I'm like, please, please. Oh, my gosh, I didn't make that face. you're so cute. Look at us. Also, super cool that three New Balance athletes made it. I would just like to give a shout out to my sponsor, New Balance.
I was going
to
ask you about that.
If
there's a big point of pride there, especially in Hayward.
Oh, absolutely.
There's Jenny there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I didn't even.
Veteran
giving
I was
a
like,
hug.
Oh, yeah, this is the messy part. See, I almost got pushing, and I was like, not today.
Ellie almost went in the infield.
She did go.
One step.
On a straightaway, it wouldn't matter.
I had to do a lot of passing to get to that point, I'm just saying. Yeah, let us be reminded.
So you didn't know she was that close?
No.
Wow, it was really close.
I need to start leaning at the line. Somebody's got to teach me how to do that. If anybody's a professional at leaning at the line, please teach me because I keep eating
I
up.
I think who yesterday with the Dorito earring, she was a professional leaning at the line.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Christina she better Pons. Get that Dorito Christina sponsorship.
Pons. I think Doritos reached out. So now we just got to get Duncan to reach out to you.
Yeah, Duncan, if you're listening to this.
Sit wits.
I run on Duncan.
Yeah.
Well, do you guys have any remaining questions? Because I think we have some celebrating to do.
I think you guys got some celebrating to do. We're wishing you all the best of luck in Tokyo.
Thank you.
We're going to recap everything, and we'll meet you at the bars.
Oh, please do. I don't know how coherent I'll be, but I'm just pretty excited about what's... I'm just so excited. Thank you guys so much for taking the time.
What's your Venmo?
Us.
I mean, if people want to drop you for some drinks.
If anybody wants to give me a drink, my Venmo is, hold on, let me pull it up.
And how can they find you on Hinge?
I'm actually not on Hinge right now. Focusing on myself.
It's working.
Self-care. what is my Venmo? Can you pull it up? I actually need this because I'm a little poor right now. So if I could get a few free drinks. Great.
All right, everyone.
Wait. No, we got to get the Venmo.
Yeah, if you're listening to this, get ready. Pull up Venmo and get ready to buy Heather McLean, the Olympian,
Dana
a drink.
This.
Oh, it's Heather _ McLean. If you want to spell McLean right, it's MacLean. Actually, it's Heather - McLean, no underdash. Heather okay. MacLean.
Do they get to say what drink it is?
Oh,
or?
You know, your choice.
Yeah.
Honestly, your choice.
All right.
All preferable.
The agent Dana stepping in.
Apothic Red is my favorite wine.
This interview is over.
It's over. Oh, am I Duncan order?
I'll take it.
You may be able to still hear Heather and Dana as they leave for the bars, but now it's just back to track talk with Chris and Kyle.
Just the talking heads.
The talking heads. Kyle, I mean, like, people might start tuning out after this, so let's keep the ball rolling. Let's get right into the action.
Tonight, or today, depending on where you were watching it from, was short and sweet. It was quick, nonstop action. We had a few finals before we head into 2 days of intermission.
Mm-hmm. Which we need. We need a good break.
We very much need it. But today was exciting, and it was hot. It was really, really hot. Obviously, in the 1500, not as big of a deal, but in the steeples and the 5K, it definitely matters.
So aside from, because we just had Heather on, she gave her interpretation of what happened in that race. Let's give the props to Ellie and to Corey. Ellie, I mean, it's kind of how we saw this race playing out. We knew that she was going to be the one to take it out hard, and she did, almost took a tumble in the first 50 meters, but held on and set a Olympic trials record in the win for and a personal best as well.
Yeah, I mean,
it was 358.03 for the record.
Is it fair to say that 98% of the predictions that we had on Instagram said it was going to be Ellie? And with that sort of expectation on her, she still showed up and over-delivered.
Mm-hmm.
You know, going sub-4 from the front, that's not an easy way to make the Olympics.
Right behind her, literally for maybe most of the race, Corey McGee, incredible performance, which, like, maybe we could should have saw coming. I know she's been on a tear the last like 2 years, but very quietly because of the pandemic. She had, I think I saw something, they hadn't made the final at USA's in a couple years as well. So this is a long time coming. Her first world championship team was 2013. And now I asked her in the press conference afterwards, like, that was Corey 2013. Like, what are your expectations now going to Rio? This is Corey now at 29, I believe, says, I want to make that final.
Yeah, it's fair. And, you know, it's not even just since 2013. For those paying attention, Corey has been on the scene since middle school. Like, yeah. To contrast her against Heather, who found the sport and really dove in a little bit later, Corey's been a name on the scene, someone that would have been on the Dysat boards years ago, that name. And to see someone who, by many accounts, was like a prodigy, especially coming from a smaller town down south in Mississippi, to now be making the Olympic team, it's a very fairy tale ending for her, although maybe fairy tale beginning.
Yeah. And one thing that she did say in her press conference afterwards was that because she started in the sport so young, there is a special moment to the fact that she kind of is one of these three women who has taken the reins from someone like Jenny Simpson. Jenny, who just didn't have the runway of, she knew, she said, it was going to take like 4 flat to make this team, and just not enough time to get in that shape. And Corey told a story about how her father was the one who told her that Jenny Simpson just signed the first 6-figure deal for a female track athlete when she signed with New Balance. And now the two of them are teammates. Not only that, but Jenny is one of the first people to congratulate them. And afterwards, Jenny in the press conference said, it's going to be a little bit weird. She hasn't seen an Olympics on TV since Dina Castor in 2004. But it was a very nice passing of the torch.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And I think the real crappy situation here is that Jenny was forced to choose between the 1500 and the 5K.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that now, as she's gotten a little older, many, many miles under her belt, notoriously good at tempos and long runs, that I don't think this is the last we've heard of Jenny. I just think maybe now the focus is a little bit higher and that move to the 5K will happen. But to your point, very much a passing of the torch. New Balance all over the place here.
The sweep. Shannon Osika, really, really close call. I mean, Heather mentioned it at the very end. Someone needs to teach her how to lean, because we could have had a situation very much like the 2015 World Championships, where Emily Infeld gets outleaned by Molly Huddle, and then Heather isn't here sitting drinking beers with us. So super close race. Danny Aragon, who was one of the picks, your pick to win it all, finishes eighth in 4:05.09, a personal best. Like, that's something that the season that she's had has been remarkable. You can't hang your head. I mean, even though you missed an Olympic team, you can't hang your head on like a performance like that. 6th, 7th, and 8th. That's Julia Haymock, Grace Barnett, and Danny Aragon, all notch personal best.
Yeah, lots of personal bests, big breakthroughs. I was saying to you on the walk over, obviously, Danny Aragon, a personal friend. I run with her all the time. I'll rabbit her in workouts. And I was saying to you before, I said, 6 weeks ago, if you would have told me that Danny is in the final, I would have been so pumped for her. And the fact that we even came in thinking that she had a chance to make the team was a big deal. And 8th place for her. And just overall, the breakthroughs of the young crop of American 1500 runners right now, I think that there's a lot of promise as we not only look, obviously, towards Tokyo, but being back in Eugene next year and then ultimately 2024 again. So America middle distance running, we're okay.
After that, we also had the men's 800, which, what a shocker. I'm still kind of like reeling
from shook.
It.
You're shook, for sure.
But the thing is, it's like we shouldn't have been shook.
I have a stupid newsletter, and at some point in the middle of March, I said, am I taking crazy pills or is everyone sleeping on Clayton Murphy?
Who owns a bronze medal from the 2016 Olympics, who owns like a 142 personal best.
Yeah, I mean, he's a stud. And what happened in 2017 in Sacramento, in a U.S. Championships that was only 4 days, Clayton tried to double the 800 and 1500. It was 103 degrees. It didn't end up working out. He ended up qualifying in neither event when it was likely that he had a chance, if he would have focused on either one, to make the team. And ever since that moment, I feel like he hasn't been nearly as respected as he should be.
There was that. There's been a bunch of injuries along the way. But then on top of that, like when the Oregon Project shutters and Alberto Salazar is banned from the sport for 4 years, he's got to make a decision and pick up the pieces and go somewhere else. So he goes back to Akron, reunites with his college coach. His college program gets cut, and he's very vocal about it. I don't think he mentioned it during his post-race press conference, but now, you know, being the Olympic trials champion and with a couple media rounds over the next couple of weeks, I'm sure this is a good time for him to raise a fuss, because you just cut a program that created a U.S. Olympic trials champion. So it was interesting to hear Clayton in the press conference afterwards say he's read everything. He loves track and field to the point where he reads the women's 800 preview, the men's 1500 preview, and so he's read what everyone has said. And yeah, it was always a conversation of Donovan Brazier and Bryce Hopler making this team. Now who's the third? He was like,
I think he was subtweeting you when he Instagrammed just an hour ago, I guess I wasn't in the battle for third after all, shrug.
Really?
So, you know, he's definitely a track guy. And I know that because he was at the track yesterday on his off day, hanging out watching the races. And I, as a big track guy myself, I can appreciate that. I know that sitting in your hotel room knowing that the Olympic trials is happening down the street would be tough, and I would definitely be here watching. So, Clayton, negative splitting. So, if we could just quickly break down this race and the way it played out. Isaiah Jewett from USC, the NCAA champ, probably the guy that many people would have circled on paper as being the one who would take the lead when you go down through the list of names. He's the one who likes taking it out, channeling the inner Dwayne Solomon of years past, and everyone was looking at him, and he came through in 25 mid, looking relatively comfortable, and just when you would have expected things to kind of hit the brakes, he took off, and half the field was not ready for it, and half of them kind of got left in the dust. It was like that accordion effect, and ultimately, he came through in 50.6, and Brazier's right on him, and I'm thinking, Donovan Brazier has a rabbit right now. What are we going to see? And then the 800 doesn't always play out exactly as you think.
He said in his post-race press conference, he came into this a little bit banged up. That's why we've only seen him run one 800 this year. And not being at 100%, he also said he didn't come in with a real exact race plan, because he's won so much over the past couple of years. He's been able to win races from the front. He's been able to win races from the back. He's ready for any sort of scenario this time, except that puts him sort of in a reactionary spot. I think he also kind of said, maybe it did cost me I didn't come in with a race plan. If you would kind of maybe think, everyone looks around, being the world champion, people are queuing off of you. In this case, the college kid was the one who's like, I'm going to be the one commanding this race.
Yeah, he definitely took control up front. But, you know, I think that Donovan's move in the past has always been just be good enough and be fit enough that you can match anything that other people throw at you. But no, you're right. I don't think a lot of people expected Isaiah to drop a 50 point from 200 to 600, the hardest part of the race for many 800 runners. And the whole time as this is happening, Bryce Hopple is just there lurking in the shadows, matching move for move. He spent the majority of the race in third place, just waiting. And with 150 meters to go, when Donovan starts to fade, Bryce Hopple slides up, and Isaiah has a gap on both Bryce and Clayton.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like he was about to run away with it, and then just then, Clayton showed that he had one more gear.
Yeah, so in electric race, you can rewatch it multiple times and pick up on many different things. It's one of those that kind of, yes, we have a little bit of a recency bias, and 2008 Olympic Trials 800 was so thrilling, but this is one of those races that just never, you always have to tune into at the Olympic Trials. So one that can still be dissected many different ways over the next coming weeks to really kind of piece together what went wrong for a couple of the big dogs, and how exactly did someone like Clayton Murphy or Bryce Hopple and Isaiah Jewett pull this together at the right time?
Yeah, well, you know, I think that this is a team we should all be very excited about sending to Tokyo. We know that Clayton can medal on the Olympic stage. We know that Bryce has medaled on the world stage. We don't yet know what we have in Isaiah Jewett, but I like what we're seeing, and it's only getting better and better.
Especially when you watch some of the clips from the posters press conference. Yes, performance-wise, he's great. Personality-wise, this kid's the next big star. I posted a video onto my Twitter page of him just going nuts about anime, and he is just a big anime geek. That means he may never come back from Japan. And he also has a paper due tonight at like 10 p.m. or something like that.
I hope he does not do it.
I think our friend Jake Tuber said it's much easier for him to just sign a piece of paper to turn pro right now than to write, you know, 10 pages of research or whatever it is.
Well, now I'm really hoping Noah Lyles can make this 200-meter team as another big anime guy. We are not the ones to host the podcast with the two of them, but there is a runner anime fan out there that would have a field day with him.
Oh, yeah, because I had no idea what he was talking about. It was Naruto, and then that's it. That's the only word I recognized. all right, aside from that, we had – what else do we have?
Well, do you want to just shout out some of the field events?
Yeah, I mean, Chris Nielsen pulls off the win over Sam Kendricks in the pole vault. Now, that's very – very big, I would say, because Sam Kendricks recently has been the only person to beat Mondo Duplantis head-to-head. So if you're beating the guy who beats the guy, that's a good sign of things to come.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that is the Olympic trials just summed up in one sentence. Like, you don't know what's going to happen on the day. And today was Chris Nielsen's day. And I think that come Tokyo, even though Mondo has been dominant and is very, very tough to beat, as you've said, now through the transitive property, we've had not only Sam Kendricks beat him, but Chris Nielsen. And I like the team that we're sending. Always got the Hayward crowd going. And I just think, you know, the pole vault is just...
Again, it's the roulette of track and field. If you implement gambling on it, it's yes or no. Man. Did they clear it? So
it only takes one.
Yeah.
And yeah, no, it was exciting. And
props to Casey Lightfoot, who made the decision to turn pro, signed with Puma, and now ends up on an Olympic team.
Puma, the
they also
monopolizing the pole vault.
And not only that, just pouring a lot of money into the sport. Yeah. They just signed, I don't know if you saw this earlier today, Gwen Berry.
Yeah, very excited about that.
Especially just given how vocal she's been about just the racial injustice issues in America and the ability to protest on a big stage like this. It's good to see that Puma's willing to back an athlete that is so outspoken like Gwen, whereas some other companies might be a little bit more cautious. But Gwen will compete later on in the trials.
The hammer throw is going to be a tough event. There's a lot of very, very accomplished women. As you know, this is 40th Mag's new podcast.
We're selling 40th Mag shirts. If you check out the 40th Mag shop, if you go to 40thmag.com, hit the merch tab, we now have 40th Mag t-shirts on sale.
Big throws, guys. So obviously you're going to be looking out for Deanna Price as well. Mm-hmm. But here, Chris, I actually got a DM today from Jack Wickens from the USATF Foundation, and he had listened to the podcast. Thanks for listening.
Friend of the pod.
One of our four listeners, and he heard our conversation talking about why is American throws going off, and he let me know that in the past 5 years that the USATF Foundation has donated $1.6 million to athletes, and of the 9 hammer, shot, and discus throwers who have already made the team, they have collectively received $350,000 of that funding. So when we're talking about the support that is necessary to keep going beyond the college years, USATF Foundation stepping up, making it possible, and that's a massive amount of money to be spread across 9 people from just a nonprofit that is stepping up and supporting the sport for the sport.
Mm-hmm. We also had the men's triple jump, and this is an interesting event because, well, Clay has taken silver at the last two Olympics and now is in a good position to win gold. I believe this is his first U.S. title in this event since 2017. Obviously, Christian Taylor has been the reigning four-time world champion, last two Olympic gold medals, but he tore his ACL, or no, he tore his Achilles, one of the two, ruptured his Achilles at a meet in Ostrava earlier this spring, and so he's out now. Will Clay finally gets his moment to step up and possibly take gold. So he takes the win, 17:21 in the triple jump, Donald Scott second, 17:18, and Chris Bernard 1701.
They were the only three with the Olympic standard. So you kind of had an idea coming in who the team would be, you know, unless there was a big, big jump, which there's obviously definitely the opportunity to do. Will Clay, though, just want to give another shout out. Puma, they're really loving the jumps there. And Nyack, they love the field events. I like supporting the brands always. Let them know that they're getting their money's worth. And also,
we're New Yorkers, so Nyack.
Yeah, Nyack, of course. A Nyack member bought us a bucket of beers the other night at the Wild Duck, so shout out to him. And also huge Red Bull hat on the podium today. I don't know if you saw that with Will Clay. Huh. So, you know, the multi-sponsor game, it's possible.
Yeah, people sneaking in logos. We didn't talk about it on the podcast, but Christina Clemens wearing Doritos bags as earrings. That was a big oversight on our part not to discuss it, but also decides to go to Twitter, says, "Hey guys, help me out. Let me land a Dorito sponsorship." We cut up a graphic, put it up on Instagram with a great photo by Justin Britton. He's been taking awesome photos for us all week. We told everyone, "Hey, tag Doritos in the comment section, get their attention." And guess what? Doritos responded and told her, "DM us." And so there may be maybe there's a commercial or a deal in the works. Who knows?
This thing is only just getting started because it's fresh, but it is starting to hit that tipping point. Shout out to Malcolm Gladwell, beat you in a mile. 3,311 retweets and 19,800 likes on her tweet about Doritos. And every time you refresh, it keeps going up.
Oh, because he retweeted as well?
No, I was just saying tipping point.
That one went over my head.
It's a book.
Okay. I don't read. All right. And then the last other event that we wanted to shout out. Nope, that was it. Triple jump. But now we get into the last final that we had, the women's 5,000 meters.
Am I allowed to go back really quick?
Sure. Because
the men's 3,000 steeple.
Oh, yeah.
The favorites, for the most part, made it through. But it was close. Because Sean McGordy, a couple laps in.
Four laps in.
Got his shoe clipped and he had to stop.
Dead stop.
Completely stopped to put it back on, and it seemed, based off the fact that when he eventually finished, he still adjusted his shoe to get his heel all the way in, but he had what, maybe a 50 meter gap to make up.
Yes, from last all the way to he ended up finishing ninth in his
which
heat.
Would have the so littlest of cues,
because it was top 5 plus 4, I'm pretty sure.
Yep. And he ran 8:25.9 to be what would be the last man into the final, because the second heat was not able to surpass that time. But he had to run a heroic final few laps to get up, work his way through the field.
I didn't see a thing of what happened in the front end of the race. My eyes were locked in on what Sean McGordy was putting together, and it was remarkable.
All you have to know up front is that Isaac Updike looks amazing.
Yeah. Well, and he's still unsponsored, right?
Yeah, Empire Elite.
Runs for Empire Elite.
Bias. I'll always admit my bias. Good friend, yeah. Teammate. Run with him all the time.
But no, Sean McGordy, when you have the fastest flat PRs of the entire field, he's able to make up that ground on. I was looking at it. It was the curves that were really impressive to me, because that's the only part where he doesn't need to go over a water barrier. Unless it's on the left side of the track, if you're watching from where I am. And so he makes up ground on those flat stretches, and is just his height. He's able to eat up so much of that track.
He's very good at running. And we had Tracksmith athlete Mason Furlick here tonight, who qualified in the second heat. We asked him, like, you saw that potentially one of the big favorites didn't make or was on the chopping block, did you consider making it honest and fast to try to potentially knock him out so you wouldn't have to worry about him in the final? And ultimately he said, you know, you just have to run your own race.
Yeah, he gave it some thought, but then what you open up there is the fact of dragging a couple more people to the Olympic standard who don't have it already. And yeah, so the second heat wasn't as fast, and Sean was able to get through. It got loud in the second heat because, unfortunately, Jordan Mann took a tumble on that very last steeple pit and kind of just knew his race was over, so he stayed in the water for like a good 2 seconds afterwards. The camera was right on him. He knew that sucks, and Jackson Messler passes by him, and that's just the Oregon crowd propelling him across the finish line to the last auto qualifier of that heat, and he advanced.
The steeplechase is a fickle beast.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to get into the women's five now?
Let's get into the women's five, the final event of the evening.
See, for this one, so much of the early race is a blur to me because I was still reeling from the men's 800. It was typical to see people like Ellie Hennis, Lauren Paquette up towards the front, and Taylor Werner was up there as well, trying to push because they didn't have the standard. So
yeah.
But in these conditions, it was so hot. You kind of go back to, you know, a day or two ago, 2 days ago, when Abby Cooper, formerly D'Agostino, which I was almost going to call her, decided to go and do it on her own. These weren't the conditions to do so. Abby looked smarter for doing it 2 days ago. The question mark was, is she going to even be able to run well? And surprisingly, yes.
She ran very, very solid. She finished fourth place, which is great. It was interesting. And the reason why I say you don't even really remember the beginning laps, it was boring in the beginning. It wasn't even really a full-on attempt. I'll say it. It was boring in the beginning. The first, because they came through in 3:06 or so for a 1K. So it's not like they went out with the full-on intent of going after the standard. It was in sight, sort of, but it was on the slower end of the spectrum. And it wasn't until the final K that things started to narrow out, and you had Abby hanging on the back of Cranny, Schweizer, and Schneider, and it's just a matter of who was going to be the one left off the team.
Yeah, Cranny, Schweizer had a little bit of a track version of Amy Chalane going on for a bit, but then it was a kick by Elise in the last lap, which was a 63.73 to seal the deal, take the victory over Schweizer. And granted, yeah, it's been a super heavy week for the Bowerman Track Club. They, in the last couple of rounds, have had to face questions about what do you think of Shelby Houlihan's positive test, and they can, as they've done in their Instagram posts, attest to the person that she is and their personal interactions. So aside from that, it's really about focusing on these races, and there's just so much noise that it was going to be interesting whether or not they were going to be able to pull it off, and they did. They proved to be pretty strong and took 1-2. And Rachel Schneider just has always been on the cusp of making one of these national teams for Worlds or Olympics, finally gets it done.
Well, a really interesting thing about Rachel Schneider is you may recognize that next to her name is a new sponsor in Hoka One One, whereas a week ago she was running for Under Armour.
Yeah, to my understanding, Under Armour gave an ultimatum to its athletes.
It was a friendly ultimatum.
You can pursue another opportunity or suspend your contract for the time being, and run in a competitor spike. You're just not getting paid by Under Armour.
I respect it. And that's why I was saying, like, ultimatum seems a little intense. It seemed like, look, we understand that we're living in interesting times right now when it comes to the shoes. Mm-hmm. And if you want to pursue other opportunities, we grant you that freedom. And she took that opportunity. And so today we saw her in a new kit.
Yeah. And paid off. 15:29.56 makes the team. Really strong run by the Brooks Beast, Allie Buhalski. 15:54 for fifth. Ellie Hennis, the NCAA champion out of NC State, was sixth. Lauren Paquette, seventh. And real, I guess, a little bit of a heartbreaker here was Jazette Norris finishing eighth. A lot of people would have pegged her on the team, but really nothing to hang your head. I actually ran into her mother as I was leaving the stadium, and Jazette had tweeted when she got to Eugene that her mom has just kept asking, when does she get to meet me? Because I guess she must be a friend of the pod, might be listening to this. Shout out, Mama Norris. I met her outside, and we chatted really briefly.
This is the weirdest humble brag.
And, well, it was just, I was walking out, and I guess one of the other members of her family pointed. It was like, there he is. And I was like, I looked around, and they were pointing at me. Yeah. And we got a nice photo. And
we've had an ongoing funny series of interactions, you and I, through this whole trials.
Yeah, it's been interesting because it's just a guy who got dusted by a 57-year-old and a newsletter writer just, who happened to do things for the sport. People, men about town covering track and field.
Thank you for all of the things ambiguously, whatever it is. No one knows if you're getting paid.
So overall, a great day, I think,
so
of track
fun,
and field.
Yeah.
A lot of fun. This is the first day where I feel like, yeah, there's some heartbreak out there.
Oh, it's so brutal. Okay, so we were talking about this really briefly, and I'm still developing this thought in my head. The idea of people coming back for the second session and doing another event.
That's right.
We've heard rumors of some people who made it today still coming back again.
What's the rumor you heard? Clayton Murphy?
I didn't hear a rumor about Clayton, but I believe Donovan has entered in the 1500.
He is, and I have word from Donovan Brazier himself. He was asked about it in the post-race press conference, and he said, probably not.
Wow. Okay. Tonight, intel that Corey was planning on coming back for the 800.
I
don't know if that's true.
I think there's a lot of
sources
people,
say.
Yeah, but is Ellie going to run the 800 as well? Maybe she scratches. Heather already also had the option to run the 800. We didn't talk to her. Venmo her. Heather-McLean.
Seemed like she was good.
And, yeah. Yeah, I don't think she's going to be.
Woody and Grant are coming back in the 5K.
And it doesn't sound like Lopez is for the 5K based off his Instagram. He didn't officially say I'm out, but it sounded like he's like, my quest for another Olympics may have fallen short.
It's interesting when you consider why there is a two-day break, and I don't know this in any official capacity, but it would seem that maybe it has something to do with TV, just so we could get the bridge between two weekends.
Like that
it does
could
provide
be
a nice little rest.
I think they said there's that really slow runner from New York who writes and talks about track and field all the time, and that miler who's just into his retirement, that they might need some rest for the next 2 days.
And they would do that for us.
I think so.
Wow. Brilliant.
So that's it for day four of the Olympic trials. We will record another one of these on Wednesday. So remember... Oh, he's got. We'll go to Kyle for the last.
Well, I just want to say that we have a revolving door at this house, and anyone who has made the team,
that's right,
might walk in there.
So
and
you'll see
hop
some
on the
bonus
pod.
Episodes.
Maybe
come
someone
up.
Who's listening,
yeah,
maybe like, you know what, I'll jump on the pod.
Yeah, guys, Isaiah Jewett is the goal guest right now. We posted a video of him to our Instagram. You better comment on there, Isaiah Jewett, come on the pod, because if you watch that clip, not only is he talking about homework, there's another clip where he's talking about Naruto. He's an electric factory. We need to do an hour with him. We've also got Rudy Winkler waiting in the wings, possibly to do a podcast with us tomorrow. And then who knows who else we've got coming. So stay tuned for more on the Citius Mag podcast. This has been Trials Talk with Chris and Kyle. Be sure to use that Tracksmith promo code Citius at checkout for 10% off. Not just first-time orders, anytime orders. I see you right now listening to this in your gray boy tee. Go out there, buy some more Tracksmith, and use code Citius at checkout. Aside from that, I love track and field. And the throws.